Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today, filling in for John Hockenberry. All this hour, we're hearing about the New Year's resolutions that you made 1 year ago.
Bruce from Tallahassee, Florida. Last year, I made the same resolution I make every year, to lose weight. This year, I actually did it. I just cut down on carbs and actually lost about 20, 25 pounds this year, the last part of the year. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, Bruce, that is definitely pretty cool. This listener writes that their New Year's resolution was, quote, to lose weight and get fit for my daughter's wedding. I lost 25 pounds, worked out several times a week for many months, and still looked fat and flabby. I've gained at least 10 pounds and stopped exercising since the day of the wedding. Well, dieting and exercising, losing weight, eating better. Every year, Americans make resolutions to be healthier. It's one of the most common resolutions we make and then break. And so we wanted to spend a little bit of time exploring some practical ways that we can think about getting healthier and reexamine what we're putting into our bodies. And that's why we have Barry Popkin. He is Distinguished Professor of Public Health at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And when it comes to the three most common New Year's resolutions about our health, Barry is here to help us understand in a scientific way how to realize some of these goals. Resolution number one, he says, of course, exercise.
Obviously, we have not increased our exercise. We decreased it as a population, and that is critical that we walk or run or just move.
Resolution number two, you say stop drinking beverages with calories, including juice.
Yes, absolutely. It is the one thing that we know for sure increases weight and the risk of diabetes and many cancers and heart disease.
And resolution three, no more snacking.
Cut down your snacking. We aren't going to cut it out, but people are snacking 2 to 4 to 6, 8 times a day. Cut it down.
Okay, now I'm going to suggest that nobody was surprised by any of those resolutions. I've made several of them myself, and probably a lot of people listening to us say, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to snack. So let's get into the data-driven world of making it happen a little bit. What do we know about the habits of people who manage to stay in shape versus the habits of people who just have trouble?
First, we know that thin people do not eat very much extra on weekends, and that means Friday, Saturday, and Sunday versus the rest of the week, whereas most Americans consume 120 to 200 more calories per day on the weekend, those 3 days, and it comes from alcohol and fat. So they're consuming a lot of salty snacks, a lot of junk food, a lot of pizzas and other kinds of things that are really high fat, and more alcohol. So that's the first big thing when you think of holidays and weekends as a big cause that people aren't conscious about.
So let's say on practicality there, people, a lot of people probably want to be more conscious during Saturday college football and Sunday pro football. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, they should have fruit and have grapes and apples and other kinds of things like that, more of that. Try to have more water around and diet beverages as well as all the beer and other stuff. And probably if I went down to Super Bowl weekend and New Year's weekend and Christmas weekend and Thanksgiving, those together probably account for a third or fourth of weight gain that we see.
Yeah, they add up is the bottom line there. Now, your resolution number two, stop drinking beverages with calories, that's a lot of juice. Americans' consumption of sugary beverages has just skyrocketed in the last 20 years.
That's right. First, you've got to realize that 75% of every food that we consume and beverage has added sugar in it. That includes fruit juice concentrate, which is used for a lot of your audience. It's kind of the natural sugar, even found in a quarter of infant formula. Ridiculously so. Huh. So we're getting sugar everywhere. But in beverages, it's particularly critical because we think we're going to cut our food intake and we feel full when we have a smoothie or a fruit juice or milk or soft drinks and other things. But we aren't. And we don't change our total food intake. So beverages is the top target. That's why Mayor Bloomberg went after it. That's why Mexico put a big tax on the sugar-sweetened beverages. And that's why we say cut your sports drinks, cut your energy drinks, cut your juice, cut your soft drinks with calories. Go to water, diet beverages, coffee and tea with little bits of sugar, and you'll be a lot healthier.
Resolution three, stop snacking. What do we know about our snacking habits that we can really make a dent in if we want to be serious about a resolution?
We shifted from consuming a half a snack a day in the 70s to consuming 3 snacks on the average now. And we actually have about 25% of Americans that eat constantly. They report 8 to 10 snacks a day, which means they're always eating. And you have no appetite control. It's all based on impulse and everything else. And secondly, the snacks have gotten really large, and they've become composed more and more of soft drinks and junk food. So what we need to do is, if we're going to snack on healthier foods half the time, so celery, grapes, apples, many, many kinds of healthy items, put them into part of your snacks. Cut down the size of your snacks. Americans consume several hundred calories from snack. They used to consume 50 to 100.
Barry Popkin, who's responsible for this? I don't think that Americans have sat around collectively and said, you know what, I used to have a half a snack. I think I'm going to turn the dial up to 3. Why are we? Who's responsible for this change in behavior?
I'll give you the clear answer. It's a marketing issue. It's the marketing sector, and it's the big food and beverage companies that have sold us on this. And the best example is let's shift over to 1 billion people over in China. They essentially, before they started getting modern marketing and modern food, never snacked. No one snacked. We spend 70 hours in 25,000 to 30,000 people's homes watching everything they eat over 3 days, and essentially they never snacked in the 80s. Then we come back in the last decade, in the 90s, and now really in the last 8 or 10 years, and snacking has gone up and up and up from nothing to doubling each every 2 years. So essentially, marketing has gone in and said, snacking's the new unsold food. We can sell food and drink by advertising and convincing them this is the way modern people live and eat and drink. You can think of all the ads. Be active and hold a Coke or a Pepsi in your hand. Be active and eat these Dorito chips and so forth. All these ads on sports drinks and energy drinks, and everywhere you move, there's a juice bar or a soft drink vending machine or a juice vending machine. It's there everywhere to sell you. You go to a gym and they have tons of energy drinks that are giving you the same calories.
Maybe it's time for people to start to think about who has something to gain when you're gaining all those calories.
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. And who is paying the billions of dollars to try to stop anybody from cutting some of this out?
Dr. Barry Popkin is Distinguished Professor of Public Health at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. He says exercise, stop drinking beverages with calories, and stop snacking. And also keep in mind who has something to gain when you gain. Dr. Barry Popkin, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.